Attention all personnel. Local fauna may appear friendly, but that does not mean that they should be kept as pets. All socks will now be thoroughly inspected, that is all.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 14th episode of Tabula Cast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is my co-host, John.
Hey, everyone.
And this time, we decided to come back from that epic episode from last week, and we're going to talk about the spy and the sniper this week. We're going to do a little bit of a comparison. Instead of just focusing on one class, we're going to talk about both of them in conjunction with each other and see how that works out. But also, we had there's been quite a bit of news this week. There was the aftermath, I guess you could say, from the 1.5 patch. There was quite a bit of news, even some news out of the game, and just a whole lot going on. There's a lot of changes that have been made, a lot of changes that people are asking for, especially after 1.5, plus what we have to look forward to in 1.6 also. So, other than that, how have you been, John?
I've been good, thanks, mate. I was just thinking, episode 14, have I really done 5 of these now?
Yeah. Can you believe it?
That's quite cool. Yeah.
It makes it go by a lot faster when you do it every week, too.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that. It's nice, and it sort of makes you get into the routine of doing it. You know, it's worth keeping that habit, I think. And everyone seems quite responsive to that. We had a lot of positive feedback from the last episode, the community show.
Yeah.
It was good to see. So I got comments on blogs and a few emails and bits and pieces. And yeah, generally sort of a good reception to that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, people don't want us to do an hour and 45 minute show ever again.
Yeah. I think it was a bit long, but it wasn't Virgin Worlds epic, was it? But it was it was long, a bit longer, but it needed to be. It needed some special attention,
yeah.
I thought. I've had some new clan members join our clan following up from that show. We had a really cool night Friday night doing like talk prison runs, and it seems like Tuesdays and Fridays are becoming sort of regular clan nights for us now. There's always somebody on. It's brilliant. Every day you log in and there's somebody there.
Yeah, I went on last night, played a little bit with a few of the members. I am enjoying playing on that server, like we talked about before, how my schedule is set up to where, you know, I'm getting home from work. And I can play right about the same time that most people in Europe are playing their late nights, doing their late night playing sessions. So it lines up pretty well.
Oh, I also managed to listen to your Podio book this week, Sean.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm very impressed with that. I don't want to spoil it for everyone, but I've got tons of questions already, and I guess that's what you're aiming
exactly,
for.
Exactly, yeah. And I'll have another one out probably the day after I post this, too. So.
Yeah, it was cool. It's kind of like, I don't want to compare it to TV shows because it's not, it's its own thing. But you know when you watch an episode of Lost and you want to get your next fix straight away, you want to know what's going on? I felt like that straight away from that, and it was brilliant. And it was only 7 minutes long, and I think you need to make the next one longer.
Yeah, it definitely will be. You know, it's funny, I am kind of going for that Lost thing, even subconsciously, because I love Lost. Actually, I love and I hate Lost. When it's over, you know, right when it ends, I hate it. I'm like, oh, God, I hate But I love it so much, you know, like right when it comes on. It's a good show.
Yeah, it's cool. And I can sort of, I guess I picked that up then from as one of your inspirations, maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
We had a bit of sad news this week as well, didn't we? I was a bit sort of gutted to hear that Gary Gygax passed away this week.
Yeah. Yeah, that was some sad news. He, of course, is one of the co-creators of Dungeons & Dragons.
But the man was a legend, you know, co-founding the D&D rulebook. But it wasn't just that. He went sort of beyond the role of that, you know, of sort of game developer. He became more of an icon, really, didn't he? I mean, you know you've made it when you're in an episode of Futurama, and he was in an episode of Futurama. But he was always, you know, part of the community and on the role-playing message boards and stuff. He was very active in all of that.
I heard that he hosted tabletop games all the way up until last month, or January, actually.
Oh, man. That's awesome,
yeah,
isn't it?
You know? It is.
I mean, before Dungeons & Dragons, you know, a fantasy world was something you just read in a book. Mm-hmm. You know, like Lord of the Rings and stuff like that. But, you know, when this came along, it's sort of the first sort of fantasy universe that you could live in and play in, yeah. Wasn't it? In that sense, you know, Dungeons & Dragons sort of form like the relationship of, you know, books, films, and then the video games we play now.
Yeah, and even, you know, Tabula Rasa isn't a fantasy game, but still, it's, you know, its basis is set from what he did, you know, with stats and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think all RPG and online games and, you know, persistent worlds and stuff have a lot to draw from it. And everyone should sort of just take a moment to realise what he did for us when we're playing our games.
Well, do we have any happier news?
I don't know. I don't know about happy news today.
Well, you want to get into the game news?
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good.
Well, there's been quite a bit. We've talked about patch 1.5 quite a few times, but it's nice to at least have the aftermath now where we can, you know, after a little bit of experience from it. And most of the changes we're going to talk about during the part where we talk about the classes, because we're going to talk about how they affect the different spy or the sniper, especially with stealth armor. That was a big one. But other than that, you know, there have been a few other little changes here and there. There's been some PvP changes. They have hinted a little bit about what's to come with 1.6, and which reminds me, there was that in-game appearance by General British.
Oh, yeah, that was a few days ago, wasn't it? I thought that was pretty awesome. It was on the Centaurus server, mm-hmm. and he just logged in. It wasn't an event or anything special like that. He just logged in at Twin Pillars in the wilderness, and he was talking to people. And, you know, there's like this massive... There's a screenshot of it, and there's this massive crowd of people around him. You can barely see him. It's just like a little head, isn't it, where he's just so popular. But he did say some interesting things. I don't know if you caught those, Sean.
I didn't get a chance to see everything he said.
Okay, well, apparently he said Earth will be added to Tabula Rasa, what's left of it. I mean, that's something I've talked about here before, and I'd like to see that burnt, scorched, you know, destroyed Earth come back to play.
Yeah.
Also, that stealth armor will become useful in PvP, and that PAUs will have their own skills and abilities.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, I'm going on, this is what somebody said he said.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can't back any of that up, but I hope he said it, and, you know, I'd like to think he did. And as far as I recall, from recent interviews, General British is always played by Richard Garriott.
Yeah, I think I heard that too, that, you know, even though Sarah Morrison is played by few different people at NCSoft, that General British is always played by Richard Garriott.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. I think somebody ordered him to do push-ups, and he did, and he was commenting on how fit he was, stuff like that. So that's a nice little touch. That's like a nice little cookie or an Easter egg, if you like. I think little things like that are good, because you don't often get that in MMOs. Okay, so there was some other news, wasn't there? There was, in the Friday feedback following, you know, the episode we did on the community, where Tia said that to watch out for this Friday feedback, as it was a bit of a response to the Korean news article that we mentioned in... That was episode 12, wasn't it? I think we mentioned that. And basically, it was really about how the devs are actively working on this game despite that news article. And it was sort of a basic guideline of how they were dealing with the addition of content, bug fixes, and other improvements in-game. So it mentioned how their time is divided currently, and a third of the effort is being spent on fixing bugs. And it says here, we hate them, you hate them, and we spend a good portion of our time getting rid of them. Another third of the time is being spent on new features. New features keep everyone coming back for more. And then the final third of their time is being spent on performance and consistency. And consistency is viewed slightly different from bugs. It's not be seen as improvements. It's sort of enhancing on current existing systems, such as quality of life changes. So right now, the top three features that they plan to add are clan-owned control points, command opportunity, and the PAUs, which of course we knew about. These have been picked for a lot of reasons, but not the least of which they feel because they will add another unique element to the game. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody wants the PAUs, don't they?
Yeah.
and the you know, clan-owned control points is awesome for a PvP point of view. And command opportunities, I look into these as they're sort of more of an incentive for players to get up to the high-end levels. I suppose it's more towards our high-end content, if you like, that we've all been looking for. But players will be able to invest time and effort into their subordinates, if you like, to become more powerful and effective in a team. which must have loads of customization stuff you can do to that. You know, if you can have, if I'm reading this right, you know, and you've got command opportunities, so effectively henchmen, I'm guessing, like below you, that you can customize with their own stats and skills and abilities.
Yeah.
I think that opens up a lot of opportunities for this game.
I know I've talked about that early on in Tabula Cast, because that was one of the things that they mentioned pretty early on. I think it was Paul Sage that mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right about the same time that he first mentioned the PAUs, is they were talking about this command opportunities where you can be a commander of NPCs. And I think we haven't seen anything at all about that yet, but they're reminding us, hey, it's going to be here. You know, just wait. But it does sound really cool, and it sounds like, I hope, you know, they instill this correctly and they have it all complete and ready for us and bug-free by the time they introduce it, because it sounds like it could be something really great.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that we need to be patient for to ensure that it's not rushed out. There was also another bit of news, and I think this is just brilliant. And this has obviously crept up since we spoke last week, because Tia said that when we asked her about any plans to go to any conventions and things like that, she said, no, there isn't really anything. And then this week what pops up on the EU site and then on the US site is a UK meetup. So I thought that was really cool. They are gatecrashing the City of Heroes event. It's at the Amiga Centre in Birmingham. Or Birmingham. Is that how you'd say it, Sean? I don't know. I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, I'd say Birmingham, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's in Birmingham, which is... It's this brilliant gaming centre. You know, there's like 400-plus PCs and rigs for gaming, you know, with nice, you know, Razer mice, keyboards. It's got cafes, bars, cinemas, consoles, all that sort of stuff. And there's a big City of Heroes event there with some of the, you know, the booth babes and characters you get there. And Tabula Rasa are crashing. They're doing like a boot camp there. Avatia is going to be there. It's over the Easter holiday weekend. And like I said, they have a TR boot camp. And I don't know if you've ever sort of looked into the City of Heroes events. I know you didn't really play that game, but they have comic book artists there that normally draw your character from a screenshot for charity.
Oh, nice.
Which is really cool. And they're actually going to let you do the same with your TR characters. So if you bring in a screenshot of your Tabula character, you'll be able to get it drawn up in a nice comic book like piece of art that you can, you know, donate a bit of money to and take it home.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really cool. I love stuff like this. There was it's really a shame. It was on the official site and there was a comment below it regarding this event. It simply said something like, why aren't you spending more time developing the game than having parties? And I just thought that was, you know, it was a real shame. You know, an online game thrives on its community, as we know. And it's just as much a mechanic that the game system, than the game systems. And while some aspects of the game need fixing, it wasn't the place to moan about it. You need to encourage these sort of things. You know, this is the first TR event, really, albeit a mini con and part of something else. It's a start and an opportunity.
Yeah. Boy, I wish I could go to that. That'd be.
I'm desperately trying to work it out. It's on the bank holiday weekend, though, so you know, it's a bit sort of difficult, but. Yeah. I would love to go and, you know, meet Tia. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, and if you did, you'd have to record something there.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. You know, I can talk and I can go ahead and do that, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's supposed to be a... every year there's an Austin game conference.
Oh, yeah.
Here in the States. And they, you know, since NCSoft is based in Austin, I wonder if NCSoft is going to be there this year. It's supposed to be in, like, September, I think. So I'm curious... Cool. And if they're going to be there, I'm going to try to be there.
You should do. I'd love to see them at PAX this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that's something...
Yeah, well, you and I, we're going to try to make that, aren't we?
I'm going to try. You have to realise it's quite a long way for me. But I really, really do like it. And if there's one event I'd travel across the ocean for that, it would be that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's the one to go to.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely try to be there.
And GAX are going to have a booth there as well.
Cool.
GAX at PAX.
Now, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but it seems like in the last few days the server populations have been, they all say medium now instead of low. Like, you know, for the last few months since the game started, every once in a while you see one during a peak time which will say medium. But it seemed like lately they've all been saying medium.
Hmm. It did sort of creep up, though.
Yeah.
I noticed it was like, it was the EU, and then it was another one. I think it was Orion. And then all of them.
Now, I've heard speculation about this, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it is true that there is a bug right now where it shows your people in your friends list and people in your clan as being online when they're actually not online. And it's a little tricky if you're not aware of it, because you might be saying, like, hi to one of your friends, and then they're not responding to you, you know, over clan chat. But there's been speculation that that is affecting the population, that it's almost like doubling, you know, or tripling the size of the actual online. It's reporting that all these people are online when they're not actually online. So I don't know if that has something to do with it or not, but just thought I'd throw that out there.
Possibly. And that was my first, you know, bit of speculation. I mean, straight away when I saw the servers were busy, I thought, well, they've made them busy. You know, they've made it look like they're busy. But it's not at all. And you know, why would they do that intentionally? But when I log on to the EU server, it is busier. I don't know about you, Sean, when you logged on to our EU server last night, but there's a lot of people running around. I don't know if we have a lot of unemployed gamers or something. But there seems to be a lot of people running around. And you know, I do wonder if it is actually genuine. You know, we had recently we've had a school holiday in the UK, so subs might be up from that, you know. And I do see a lot of new players arriving. You know, like I say, I've been running around introducing people to different parts of the game and saying hi and stuff, and there's brand new players coming to the game. Now, I think there's another bit of news you're being a little bit modest about, Sean.
What's that?
Well, I think you were a little bit of a star last Friday night, weren't you?
Yeah, if you could call it that, I guess. Yeah, I almost forgot about that. It's a good thing you mentioned it. No, last Friday, well, every Friday they have Friday Night Fights thrown by the guys over at Planet TR. And I've talked about Friday Night Fights before. They were actually a fan site of the week back when they actually had their own website. Now they're kind of integrated into Planet TR. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they do this every week. They have a fight where people circle around, and then they have a championship tournament kind of style where two people get in the middle. They duel each other. And originally it was just done hand-to-hand, but since there were some changes to the hand-to-hand damage where you actually can't kill someone hand-to-hand anymore, you know, you could punch each other forever and no one would ever die. So then they started making it where they put pistols in your hand, and you need to pistol whip each other, basically. And there's supposed to be a fix for this where they're gonna change it. They're also supposed to get a boxing ring, which would be really exciting.
I saw that. That's cool. That's a nice little idea.
Yeah, that would be cool, and I think the devs are making that for him. But anyway, so last week I'm watching, and I'm there on, I think it was Orion. Maybe it was, I don't remember which server it was on, but I had my Tabula Cast character there, and, you know, representing. And and I saw Dead Ringer was there, the admin for the Planet TR forums, and Fuzzball was there, who's the guy who hosts Friday Night Fights. And I said hi to him, you know, and we're talking a little bit in whisper. And then Dead Ringer says to me, he says, I got something to ask you. It's a little spur of the moment, but I was wondering if you'd want to be the mystery guest this week. And I'm like, what? I've never done the Friday Night Fights before. I don't even know how to do it. So I'm like, sure, you know, I'll try it. It could be fun, you know. So I don't even know when I'm supposed to go on or anything. You know, I just know that they're fighting right now, and I don't know if they're almost done or what. So I run over. I go to look for a pistol. I don't have a pistol on this character. I don't have any money or anything, so I had to beg for a pistol. But Fuzzball gave me a pistol, and I didn't even know, like, well, what was funny is I got in the ring. They announced it, like, just as soon as I got all ready. I actually had to make a new character just named Sean Tabula Cast, just because my first one was named something else, but so I get in the ring, take off all my armor and everything, because you can't have any armor on. Mm-hmm. And I get in the ring, and I'm supposed to fight the champion, the guy who has beat everyone else up until this point. There's like 20-some people he's beat. And I'm supposed to be the one that, you know, that beats him or something. I know it's just it's for fun, you know, like they'll have devs on there. It's a novelty thing, you know, basically. Yeah, they don't expect me to be good. So I get up there. He does the duel thing where he challenges me to a duel. I put accept, and then I look down at my keyboard, and I say, okay, WASD and F, I have to do the F for this, Oh, and I have to do spacebar too to jump around. Okay, so I need two hands for this. So, and then I look up and I'm dead. Literally, he killed me in like 1 second. I did press a few buttons, so I think I was jumping around a little bit, maybe swinging at him a few times. But it was so difficult. And my hat goes off. The guy's name who beat me was Kamarov. Mm-hmm. He's on the Planet TR forums. He has been the champion many times. But yeah, my hat goes off to him because he kicked my butt in like 1 second. it was a lot of fun. It was definitely
good, and it is all about fun. And I'd say to anyone sort of listening, if they, you know, don't even want to take part, you know, and you have to apply on the forums to take part, and you don't get into the list, but just go down and watch because you form part of the ring, don't you?
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of fun, and it does feel like Fight Club. You know, it is really really cool, and you know, it's a great way to sort of socialise and spend some time with people.
Yeah, definitely.
It's such a brilliant idea, and you know, just to show the devs support it, like you say, the devs are building them a boxing ring,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. which is really really cool. I think over at Planet TR they've got the some great ideas. I mean, there's the new Supremacy Circuit, which is a PvP thing that they're bringing in.
Oh yeah,
which is up and coming. I need to find out a bit more about that. To be honest with you, I don't know enough about that as it's quite new, but. A lot of people are taking sort of the PvP idea into their own hands. You know, whilst we're waiting for, you know, the PvP stuff that isn't in the game, you know, and the dev team are working on, there's currently, you know, a big community sort of building up their own things. And there's this big sort of project that's been started by Coil. There's a clan called Coil, I think, or the Coil team. And they've set up this idea where they've created their own faction versus faction PvP. And the idea is they've built... They've created two clans, one called Mortal and one called Coil, and these PvP clans are permanently at war with each other. And then, you know, over the course of a 7-day war, the war will end and they'll start again, creating this permanent, persistent PvP. It's a good idea. I do worry about the idea of, you know, you'd have to join that clan, so I think you'd have to have a specific character for it. I'd like to see the devs adopt something from this and, you know, bring in two factions that we could use, you know, so whatever clan you're in, you can take a side, perhaps.
Mm.
But great to see players taking their own, you know, stance on it. You know, you can moan and quit the game because it hasn't got what you want, or you can just, you know, create something yourself, can't you?
Yeah. It's not a static thing. It's like an organic game.
Mm. Yeah, it's brilliant that people have come up with their own, you know, things that, you know, totally unprompted.
Now, going along with that, I heard a rumor... They're going to make it so that you can join multiple clans with your same account now. You can do it with multiple PvE clans, but just not multiple PvP. So I imagine you could make like a PvP character and have them join a PvP clan, which I think would be great. I would love that, because I would definitely join a large PvP clan with just... I would make a PvP character, and I would do that, because I think that'd be great.
That's a great idea. That's really, yeah. really good. I hadn't heard that. I hope that does come in, because then, yeah, you can be... Oh, see, that's got me thinking now about PvP and my plans for the Mog clan. I hope you're all listening.
Well, you know, another thing they're talking about, and this is a rumor also, but they're talking about taking away the 7-day timer, which would be just brilliant, because, you know what I mean, like between clans, like when you quit a clan, you got to wait 7 days to join a new one.
Yeah. The idea was that in case you were, you know, spreading information for PvP purposes, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That they're going to keep that still with PvP, but just for PvE clans, if you want to switch back and forth, you can do it.
Cool. Okay, so we're going to talk about the Sniper and the Spy, aren't we, as we promised?
Mm-hmm.
And which is great, because I think they're the two of the things I like. I like the Ranger, and I like Spy, and I like Sniper. It's something I'm quite passionate about. Not that I'm passionate about all the others as well, but this is something I enjoy. I'm enjoying playing at the moment. You know, I like my Ranger, who's going to be a sniper, and I played snipers quite a lot. Just quickly before we go on to that, I just want to revisit a point from, you know, previous tiers, that ammo for chain guns has become very cheap recently. Not very cheap, but it's much less than it was. So it's worth reconsidering that possibly if you want to, that that your machine guns can be a good choice now, as they're less expensive to run at the higher levels. So that's the first thing I wanted to say, really, before we sort of go on to the tier 4 bits. So basically, the sniper is, you know, is a ranged attack. It really sort of specializes in taking out one target at a time, I would say. and you're dealing the most damage to that, and then moving on to taking something else out. So pretty much all of the skills and the abilities you get at this level for the sniper are based around, you know, doing damage and doing it at distance, I would say. So the things we have your critical wave. That's your signature ability. This skill is just given to you, I think. You just need to get the logos for it, don't you, Sean?
Yeah, Vortex. One. You need Vortex is the big one. Mm-hmm. Attack, Enhance, and Friend you usually will already have by this time, but Vortex is the one that everyone needs to get their signature ability when you're level 30, and it's kind of a hard... I guess I'll just talk about that for a second, this Vortex logos, because... It's kind of hard to get. You have to do a chain of quests to get to it, and it's locked in a cave, and the only way you can unlock it, you know, is to get these other logos to get up to it. So you'll see a lot of times where people will say, hey, I'm at the Vortex cave right now, and I'll open it up for anyone who wants to do it. And then there's always people running, you know, so that they don't have to do all those quests. Well, I don't particularly agree with that, because I think you should do it, you know, the way you're supposed to anyway. But... this Vortex thing, you'll see that a lot, where people will say, like, opening Vortex now, you know, and if you don't know what that means, that's what they mean.
It's kind of like getting all the, it's like in Stargate, getting all the stones lined up, isn't it, to open the portal.
Yeah.
It's, exactly. But I love it. It's like, it's half the, sort of the archaeology side of the game. I do like all the language and the bits and pieces.
Yeah.
One day we should do a show entirely in the language, Sean. It's more of a visual language. I'm not sure how that would work. Maybe I should just do it on my blog. But the critical wave is it basically increases your chance of a critical by 200%, meaning you have a big chance to double your damage. But it does do that at the cost of all of your adrenaline bar. But if you combine sort of adrenaline buffs. You can get your adrenaline back up, because you can use Crit Wave quite nicely with Rage. Rage is something I use all the time now. So you don't want to waste all your adrenaline. So if you're going to use it all on this, you need to make sure you have some sort of buff or something to get that back up. It's much more useful now. I think this is quite nicely paired with target painting, which we'll come onto later. Of course, with the sniper, we've got torque shell guns, which are their signature weapon, I guess, and a sniper. Mm-hmm. The best gun in the game for me. I say that about every weapon? I don't know if I do yet. But I really do like my torque shell guns. For me, I would have this set pump 5. 75% armor piercing is just awesome.
And, the 40% damage bonus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, if you combine that, with the headshot and polarity field... It's very, very nice. And again, this works well with target painting. Target painting is something brilliant, which, again, we'll come on to. You get almost perfect armor piercing. I think it is about 100%. So as long as you use your pistols and stuff when they get up close, but keep your torque as, like, your best friend weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of the range of it, if you use it between 40 and 60 meters, you get better damage than you would at a lower distance. Then at 60 to 80, it's its optimal range. Then anything over 80 meters is the same damage as the shorter distance, but it's more accurate.
Oh, okay. This is one of those things, too, where the biggest problem I've found with a torque shell rifle is, I love to sit up in the cliff and you shoot the enemies, you shoot the boss or something like really, really far away. You can, headshot them. But you're going to get all the aggro from all his buddies. They're all going to come after you. So that's when you need your firearms or your chain gun or whatever else you have available to you, in lower tiers. I think it's important to still pump those up so that you can have something else to fight with. Because the torque shell rifle is a really specified weapon. It's not something you run around with all the time.
That's right. It's this is what I like about this game, though, is that... with your builds, you can't really just plow all of your abilities into the top 4 tier.
Yeah.
You have to think about the things you've earned previously and things you've become accustomed to using them and use them in new ways with the new stuff you've gained as you move up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I really like that about this. But you saying about hiding in the cliffs, I'd love to see a prone ability soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To be able to lie down would be quite cool. It wouldn't even have to give any extra, ability. I just think as long as you could do it, it's more of a role play point for me.
Yeah.
Lie down doesn't work quite as well, does it? You
know? Yeah, on your back. Yeah.
Also, they did, I think it was in beta, we had talk shell pistols, didn't we?
Yeah, and they're talking about the possibility of bringing those back, aren't they?
Yeah, I had heard that. They were pretty cool. So, I mean, if you had one of those along with the ranged weapon, it'd be a nice combo. I can't remember quite how they worked, but I think it'd be nice to see if they do bring those back. Then, of course, we've got shredder ammo. I'm not so sure about using this one. I'm not a huge fan of it. Each pump increases your damage in a certain type of damage. But at this level, you have so many other tier 4 skills that give you a huge bump in damage. Mm-hmm. I'm just not entirely sure whether it's worth putting your points into this. I think it depends whether really if you're going down the route of being a target painter torque shell build, or if you want to be a machine gun shredder ammo combo, really.
Yeah, and that's another thing to point out is the fact that shredder ammo does work with any weapon, or most weapons at least. It's not just mm-hmm. for torque shell rifles. But the thing is, it's kind of like polarity field, to where mm-hmm. it buffs one type of damage. Of course, like in pump 1, it does physical, pump 2, it does emp, pump 3, it does sonic, pump 4, electric, and pump 5, laser. But the thing is, the thing that gets me, and John and I were talking about this earlier, because I'm kind of a numbers guy, is it just says in the description, it says it will deal a slight amount of additional damage. It doesn't tell how much. So that worries me.
Yeah, and maybe that's why I've glossed over it, but I think like you say, I actually prefer having my ranger skill of polarity fields in pump 1 and 2 to use with my torque shell gun.
Yeah.
I keep those handy, really, rather than using the shredder ammo. Then, of course, we've got target painting. You know, I love this. It reduces the cover on a single mob, even at pump 1. And then at pump 2, you've got armor piercing, and pump 3, it stops armor regen. Now, that regen thing is pretty awesome right now, because if you think about the recent patch changes and how much the enemies regen, mm-hmm. to have something that just stops it is brilliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you use this with, you know, like an EMP rifle and you've got rage on, it can be really, really useful. So it doesn't just have to be about your torque shell gun. Combining this with the torque shell gun, however, is probably one of my favorite combinations. You know, and it does give near 100% armor penetration. Yeah. I like it at pump 4, but you have to keep reusing it. You have to, like, reapply it, because it's quite short-lived.
It seems like it's just made just for the torque shell rifle, you know, the way it works. Mm. And it goes hand-in-hand with another one, which is Called Shot. Have you played with Called Shot at all?
Yeah, Called Shot is good. Again, this increases damage and range as well, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure on the stats. You're the numbers guy, I remember, so you've got those somewhere. However, it's almost sort of, you know, I like it at pump 5 just because that's, you know, does so much damage.
Yeah.
But that's also its problem in a way, is that I don't like it anything lower than pump 5, so it can become costly. But as far as, you know, playing a sniper who is all about damage and range, it seems like the perfect choice, you know, and again, tied up with the target painting is a great combo.
Well, the good thing about it is that with Called Shot, you can do certain parts of the body, and each one makes sense. Like in pump 1, you can call the legs. Basically, it's the hit location is the leg, and what it does is it takes their movement down 75%. It's a decrease of 75%, which makes sense if you shoot somebody in the legs. Mm-hmm. And then at pump 2, it does the arms, which affects their attack rate. It lowers it by a third, which would make sense. Pump 3 is the torso, which causes bleeding, which is basically just damage over time, which is always nice. Pump 4 is the eye, which I imagine would really hurt, but it makes blindness, and they have a damage penalty of 50%. So once they're blind, you know, they can't really do as much damage.
That's right.
There. And then, of course, you have the infamous headshot at pump 5, which does 1.5 times more damage.
Now,
so that's always good.
This is my argument, is that whilst all those other things are very, very nice, you know, you can shoot someone to slow them down, you can do this, not if you can shoot them in the head and kill them, that seems to be the way to go for me.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, all very cool abilities, and like I say, this is one of my favourite. I think it's more from a roleplay point of view that I like this, just because you can relate, like you say, to those different different pumps and their abilities. Mm. You can relate to them a bit more. And I like that from this point of view. I like being sneaky and keeping my distance.
Another great thing about this ability, too, is the low cost. It's only 30 power, and that's straight across the board.
Yeah.
So it lasts for 20 seconds as well.
Yeah, you can use it a lot, and it's sort of worth having it in your bar. I'm interested, Sean, whilst we're just talking about bars and abilities, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here, but you know, how do you manage your abilities in your bars?
Well, I imagine other people do this, but the way I do it is it depends on the skill. You know, like, if I have lightning and I have it up to pump 5, I'll just mm-hmm. throw the pump 5 lightning on my bar.
Yeah.
I won't mess with the other ones. But there are a lot of them, like, I'll talk a little bit about some of the spy ones. We'll use the sniper ones for an example. Mm-hmm. Like, for called shot, if I were to have called shot on my bar, which I don't, but if I did, I would probably have the one I use the most on my first bar. I would probably mm-hmm. have pump 5 on my first bar. And then on the second bar, you know how you click the arrows and you can go to different bars.
Yeah.
On that one, I would have other ones for specific situations. And I do this with other ones, like, I guess I'll go ahead and say it, even though I'm going to talk about it in a second, but with Polymorph, which is a spy skill.
Yeah.
You can change into all these different things. Well, the one I use most is the Kale, which is the big gorilla-looking thing. Mm-hmm. I use that the most just because it can run faster than the rest, and I like to use it to run through and not be detected. So I'll use that. But then I'll still have the other ones on the second bar. I'll have a whole bar of polymorph skills in case I want to use one of the other ones. Like if I want to use the healer one, the caretaker, then I have that. But it's on my secondary bar. And then I have a third, like a third bar, which has stuff that I don't use as often, but I'd still like to use. Like I have sprint on there, and I actually put grenades on there too.
Yeah, cool. I normally fill up a bar with like mid packs and all that sort of stuff as well. That's cool. That's very similar to how I do it. I think you say you can change them up and down with the numbers. Those bars you can use, is it shift and then the number for each bar as well? I think that's how you call those up quickly.
I'm more of a mouse person. I just click. I should get into the habit of that definitely.
You're the casual switcher.
It's Guild Wars, I tell you. It ruined me.
Well, seeing as you're talking about the spy, that's a good opportunity for you to go into that, I think.
Yeah, the spy right now is my highest level character, so I can feel pretty confident in talking about it. Mm-hmm. I think every episode now I've said that she is still level 35. She's still level 35. But she's about 92% in there, almost level 36. But
I'm glad in a way, though, that you're not all about just leveling, Sean, because the game isn't... I'm not a grinder. I just like to play, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's nice to see.
And I like to read the quest logs. And plus, I play other characters. I have, you know, I have a level 12 on the European server. I have a my level 20 sapper, which is getting up there. And then, you know, I try to play a lot of different ones. I don't try to stay on one. But anyway, the spy I really enjoy. I think they've gotten a bad reputation for being just the fact that everybody plays a spy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that's fair. I think it's just because of the damage they can do mainly. But to go over some of their abilities and everything, first of all, like John was saying about the sniper, you know, it's a long-range class for getting that one shot in, you know, hiding up in the cliffs and getting that headshot on the boss. That's what a sniper's for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a spy is pretty much, it's not the opposite of that, but it's the same type of thing from a different angle, where you're running in undetected, hopefully, and doing backstabbing. Backstabbing is the big thing with the spy. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to run in, and I'll talk about this a little bit with the blade, but you don't want to just go front on with someone and start hacking at them with your blade. You want to sneak up behind them. You want to backstab them, because there are benefits to that. So that's what a spy is all about. It's about being stealthy. It's about sneaking around, polymorphing into the enemy. You know, if you ever were a newbie and you were in Alias DOS and you saw a Thrax running through and everybody's shooting at it, but it's not dying, that was a very bored spy right there.
A spy reminds me, I hate to do the comparison to fantasy games because you really can't, but it's very much similar to a rogue in that sort of sense.
Yeah, but with a rogue... The rogues usually don't do a ton of damage, and that's
right, yeah.
That's one of the great things about a spy. But now, to go over some of the abilities, the signature ability is Cloak Wave. And to be honest, I don't really use Cloak Wave at all. This is another one where you need Vortex and everything, like I've said. But with every other signature ability, it takes up 100% of your adrenaline. And to me, when you're a spy, it's really hard to build up adrenaline. It's not really specific to a spy to not build up adrenaline, but it's just hard to do it, you know, in general. But since they've introduced the new adrenaline boosters, the items you can buy, those really help out a lot. They really do. And I've kind of started playing with Cloak Wave a little bit more since they started doing that. But what it is it completely cloaks you. It adds a huge stealth bonus to not only yourself, but all of your allies within 25 meters of where you activated it. And it lasts for 1 minute. And it's actually a pretty cool thing. It makes you almost invisible. The thing is, if you try to attack while you have this on, you'll be spotted. You know, you'll come out of Cloak Wave. So it's not... It's like how you were mentioning in other games with the Rogue. And Rogues have abilities like that. It's just like that. It's not really... It doesn't enhance anything except sneaking around. To me, personally, I would rather use a Polymorph skill because I think it's more effective and I think it just works a little bit better. Plus, it doesn't take up 100% of your adrenaline. That's crazy to me.
50% stealth, that's equal to, you know, 5 pumps in stealth armor, isn't it?
Yeah. And I just want to talk about that for a second before I get into these other abilities. But stealth armor, I love. I absolutely love it. People have complained about the regen rate because they recently changed that. They lowered the regen rate. But when you play anything with stealth armor for a long time, and then you go and you play something else, like, say, reflective armor, which that's the change I've made recently where I play a different character with reflective armor, and you notice that the enemies see you right away. I mean, you could be, you know, 80 yards away, and they'll turn around and they'll start shooting at you, and you're like, what the... It's because I'm spoiled with the stealth armor. I can run up behind someone, you know, 10 meters behind them, and they won't even detect me. I have it maxed out, too, which helps a lot. But
you got to have it maxed out, I think, stealth armor.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where you just... It's a great... I just love that ability about the stealth armor. And who cares if it doesn't regen as good, because I'm not getting shot at as much.
Brilliant. Did the... just speaking about that, sort of changes recently, did the spies get their... respec. I think the spies got a specific respec just for spies only.
Yeah, they did.
And that's been awarded.
And that was pretty nice. I didn't really change my build too much, but yeah, it was nice. Plus, moving on with the abilities, you go down to Magnesium Flash, which is another one that they just recently changed. They say that it didn't work before. It didn't work as it was supposed to be. Supposedly what it does is it blinds your enemies so that they can't hit you as well. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently there was a bug since launch where it didn't work like that. And supposedly they fixed it in 1.5, but I've been hearing from a lot of people that they haven't fixed it. I personally don't use it myself because I find better ways to use the skills. I don't think it's that great of a skill, but
yeah. It doesn't appear to do much, but I've seen it in action, and it does actually do a little bit of damage. And it's kind of like something you can use to just chuck out if you've got yourself in a lot of trouble. You know, just chuck it out and run away, and you can keep sort of chucking it out to get out of there.
Yeah, it gives this little graphic around their faces. It's like a flashing white to show you that they're blinded. Mm. And yeah, it does work for that a little bit. It just doesn't affect their accuracy, which is what it claimed to do.
Is it still true that this ability doesn't draw aggro?
That I'm not sure about.
Yeah, I had heard somewhere that you can fire it off and the bad guys don't sort of run towards you. If it does do that, it's probably been fixed. I'd hope it's been fixed.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Yeah, like I said, that's one of them. That's the only one, actually, the only spy ability I don't use at all. Well, actually, I used to use this next one I'm going to talk about, but I don't anymore, and that one is Traitor. This is the best example I can think of when I use Traitor. Now, I can't remember. I think it was Plateau. Yeah, in Plateau, there's a Kale boss named Goliath, and he runs with about two or three other Kale right with him. Now, this guy can kick your butt. I mean, he's a pretty tough boss. What I like to do with Traitor is I cast Traitor on the boss, and what he does is he just is supposed to gain aggro from his friends who are now looking at him as an enemy, you know, as a traitor. So mm-hmm. then they're supposed to attack him. Well, that doesn't work, of course. They just simply don't attack, or he simply doesn't attack you. He turns around and kind of walks off in the distance while his friends continue to attack you. But that's one of the reasons I don't really use it. But it was helpful in this situation because then I was able to take them out while he's standing around looking at the trees and stuff. And then after I got them out, I went and attacked him and killed him. And that was a good way it worked. But as far as the in-game description, what it says, use this ability to confuse a target's allies so that they perceive it to be a traitor. That is false. It says affected enemies will tend to attack the target, often ignoring attacks from their real enemies. Note that enemy officers, mechanized units, and others may be immune or resistant to this effect. Yeah, I think this is another one that it's not broken, but it just doesn't work completely like it's supposed to, where they're not a traitor as in their friends attack them. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll move on to probably my favorite spy skill or ability, and that's polymorph. This one I use a lot for different variable reasons, but I think it gets a bad reputation because people overuse it for the wrong ways, you know, like I was mentioning about running around scaring noobs. It's that's not what it's for, people.
Isn't it? I thought that's what it was for.
They need to make a scaring noob ability, actually. Yeah. But what it is, this might take me a long time to explain here, okay. But at pump one, you turn into a Thrax soldier. And mm-hmm. by turning into, I mean you assume the looks, you look exactly like a Thrax soldier, you run like a Thrax soldier, you do everything like a Thrax soldier. You even get the skills of a Thrax soldier. And those skills are, well, you have the same weapon, so on your weapons bar you actually have that little, you know, puny pea shooter that he has. And then your ability, you have kick. That's your only ability, is kick. And you can also, there's the ability to transform back into a man. But with kick, it's one of those aggravating ones where when you're a spy, you run up to an enemy and they kick you down. And they've recently changed that where the downtime isn't as much, which is great. Mm-hmm. But now you have that ability, so now you can run around kicking people. So that's kind of fun.
That's cool.
At level 2, at pump 2, you're a Thrax Technician, which gives you a few more abilities. You have Repair Machine, Revive Machine, and Deploy Turret. So it's kind of like a almost like an engineer. You know, mm-hmm. a Thrax version of an engineer you are. And these power costs on these get a little high. Like for the Thrax soldier, it's 100 power. For the Thrax technician, it's 150. And then when you get up all the way up to the last one, it's 200. Mm-hmm. But they all last 2 minutes.
So you get 2 minutes from each of those, and they use power and not ammo for the turrets then?
Well, yeah, the ammo you use isn't actually ammo that you... It's not like your own ammo. Mm-hmm. It's like they come with their own magical ghost ammo, which is kind of cool.
Okay,
but
cool.
You do have to use programmable micromech. It's a cost of 5 for the first 3 levels, and then 10 for pump 4 and 5.
Right, okay.
So on pump 3, you have the caretaker, which is a really helpful one, I think, because you're a healer. You could be running around. I mean, you're a spy, so you don't have healing abilities, right? Mm-hmm. Well, when you morph into a caretaker, you actually have those. You have heal biological, you have revive, which is great. You know, that helps you. You can raise your fallen teammates as a spy, mm-hmm. which is great. But those two skills, between healing and reviving, like I said, it's almost like you're a medic. It's not as good as being a real medic, of course, but it's nice when you're a spy, you have those options.
When you revive yourself as a caretaker, do you revive as a caretaker or as the spy?
No, you don't revive yourself. You revive your allies.
All right, cut that out then.
Well, no, because there actually is an ability to do that, and that's at pump 5, which I'll talk about in a second.
Okay.
So pump 4 is the Kale, and that's the big gorilla monkey-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this one I like to use only because I think he runs the fastest. The Thrax run pretty slow, especially the caretaker. Mm-hmm. He like kind of does this butt shaking thing when he runs, and it's really it's really slow. But the Kale runs pretty fast. He covers a lot of ground with his big strides,
mm-hmm.
and the abilities he has are high health, which he basically has a higher health than than you do as a spy. He has high damage resistance and immune to knockback and immune to stun. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty good for, you know, when you run into a group, you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. But you don't really do a lot of damage, I've noticed. You can punch the ground, you know, you kind of do this little shaking thing where you punch the ground and cause like an earthquake effect, which yep. works out pretty well. But you don't do a lot of damage. So this is one that I don't use for damage, mainly just okay. running, you know.
And that infiltration.
Yeah, yeah. When you have to run in and get a certain, maybe get a Logos that's in a group of 20 Thrax, and you don't really want to have to sit there and kill them all. You just polymorph mm-hmm. run in and get it. That's actually what I use it for the most. And then we have the last one is the Hominis Machina. That one, don't ever try to use it as a runner.
Right.
It is the slowest you're speaking, thing in the world.
Have you spoken from experience with that, Sean?
Yes. Well, I've tried it out. I'm like, I'm going to be a Hominis Machina, and I do it. It's just like, it's so slow. It's ridiculous. I actually, when I did the respec, I just left Pump 5 off because I don't use it. But they do have a self-revive, which you were asking about cool. before. They're the only ones that can actually res themselves, which is really cool. And they also have a really strong attack. They're the highest damage dealer out of the polymorphs. One big point about polymorph that bugs the heck out of me, and I need to point this out to people, is when you are polymorphed and you walk into any kind of water, polymorph goes away.
Ah, okay.
And I learned this the hard way. You know, I polymorph and I'm right by a river and I go, okay, I'm going to cross this river and then I'm going to go sneak over here, and I cross the river and it transforms me back into a spy. So just remember that. If you're planning on doing any kind of sneak attacks, cross the river first and then polymorph.
It's definitely all about sneaking around, isn't it? And, you know, infiltration and recon and yeah. that sort of stuff, isn't it? It's an interesting class to play.
Yeah, it is definitely. There's so many great things about it, I think, and I can see why so many people play it. I mean, the polymorph itself is such a draw. Plus the stealth, you know, everybody likes sneaking around. Most people like sneaking around, you know. Mm. But also, one thing I haven't talked about yet was blades. Blades are incredible. I love blades. There are so many reasons why I don't use anything else but blades. When I did my respec, I originally had 5 in firearms. I have it like at 2 now, or maybe 3 for the added bonuses at 3.
Wow.
But I use blade. I maxed out my blades because the damage you do with blades is just incredible. But one thing you got to remember with blades is you don't just go head on with someone like I was talking about. You don't run up face to face with someone and try to attack them with your blades. The best thing to do is where the bonus is, where the extra damage is in the backstabbing. Because what you do is you can run behind someone, you know, being stealthy, they don't see you if you can do it effectively, and you backstab mm-hmm. them. And the thing is with backstabbing is you get a bonus, an extra damage bonus, when you attack from behind. And this doesn't happen at pump 1 or 2, but at pump 3 is when you not only get just a general weapon damage bonus of 20%, you also get a 2x bonus just for doing it from behind, you know, from backstabbing. At pump 4, you get a 2.5x bonus, and then at pump 5, you get a 3x bonus. So at pump 5, when you're doing the insane amount of damage that blades do anyway, you know, they do, I mean, I'm doing regularly at level 35, I'm doing in the 12,000 damage range, you know, 12, 14,000 damage sometimes.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, it is, because it's a mix between the 40% damage bonus of having pump 5 and the 3x damage bonus. So when I'm, you know, when I'm attacking from behind, that's what it does. It's crazy. And that's not on all targets, but it's pretty crazy. And one thing I found, I've wanted to share this with the listeners. I found a nice little place to farm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I should mention it because it might get taken away from us. But there's those, I forgot the name of these things, but on the Myers, you find those big, they look like big elephants or something like that. And they're not hostile. They're neutral. I'm sure everybody knows what I'm talking about. And they're made out of fire. They're made out of volcano lava and stuff like that. And they lumber around really slowly. Well, there are areas in the Myers where there's a whole bunch of them together. There's maybe 5 or 6 of them together in one group. You can go up, if you get a cryogenic blade, which is the ice damage blade, and you sneak up behind these things, you can kill them in probably three or four hits, well, at a, you know, at a pretty decent level, like 34, 33, somewhere around there, you can hit them from behind, you kill them in a couple hits, and you get about 1,400 credits for each one you kill, plus you get a pretty good amount of experience. And I'll just do this. I mean, I'll do these over and over again because they respawn. And you get 1,400 credits for each one.
Are you doing that right now whilst we're recording this?
No, but if my computer could handle it, I would be. Believe me. So, yeah, that's the thing about blades. They've also introduced, with patch 1.5, they've introduced the ability to use the hand-to-hand skill along with the blades.
Mm.
So you turn your blade around and you hit with the hilt of your blade. And that, you might be thinking, why would I want to do that when I can do 12,000 damage with the other end of the blade? Well, the only real reason that you'd want to do that is for knockback or stun, mm-hmm. actually. If you get pump 5 in hand-to-hand, there's a chance you can stun your opponent. Okay. That's the only reason you do it.
So you could chuck one of those in occasionally into your combo of attacks.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, I've heard a lot of people say in PvP they like to try to stun and then they attack, and it works out pretty well.
That's cool. It's been really nice talking about these two because they complement each other. I mean, you've got, you know, like we say, the sniper, which is all range, the melee attacks of your spy. It's quite a difficult choice, at, you know, when you go up to tier 4 of what to take, because they are both very appealing, and it sort of be nice. Sort of, you know, I really favour the sniper and you really favour the spy. It's nice being sort of looking at these from two different angles.
Yeah, and it just has to do with your playing style. You know, do you like to kind of sneak around and shoot stuff from far away and then be able to be stealthy that way? Or do you like to be stealthy, like sneak up or disguise yourself? I mean, it's two different ways to do the same type of thing, I think, as far as being stealthy. So.
Yeah, very cool. There's not enough snipers around. I think we need to see more snipers on the go.
Well, what's funny about that is I have a little poll on the Tabula Cast front page asking about what people want to be for their preferred class, you know, tier 4 class, and sniper is winning by quite a bit.
Oh, I mean, wow.
Yeah, 25% of the people prefer sniper, and guardian is second. Spy is third.
But, of course, now you've mentioned that.
Yeah.
All the spies are going to go, I'm not having that. And it's going to go up. And next week, spy will be at the top.
Now, see, that's the thing. Is like, I look at that from that angle a little bit, too. Like, I don't like to play the same thing that most of the people play.
Yeah.
And that's one reason. I mean, I enjoy the spy, and I kind of go back and forth between it being my favorite and the exobiologist being my favorite. I really like the exo. But you just can't beat the damage and the sneaking around ability of the spy.
Yeah. I have to admit, it's almost awful to think that, but when I first looked at the game, I thought, you know, I like the sound of engineer and I like the sound of spy. Those are two things that really, really appeal to me. Mm-hmm. And then you hear that everybody plays spy and engineer, and it almost sort of put me off a bit.
Yeah.
It shouldn't do, because at the end of the day, if it's a great thing, then you should play it. You know, you shouldn't let that put you off, because just because other people play it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It probably means it's a very good thing.
Yeah.
You know, so do check them out. You know, don't worry about what other people are playing. Play what you want to play.
Yeah. And you just play it better than everybody else.
Then
you'll have the edge. Okay, so now I wanted to go ahead and read an email that we got. There have been a few emails that we've received over the last few weeks, and what I'll do is I'll usually pick out a few for us to read. But we had one in particular that we wanted to talk about this time. It's from a guy named Clasper. Hello, Sean. I've listened to all your podcasts, and I must say I'm jealous. I have always wanted to run my own podcast on gaming, just never really got around to it. However, on to why I am contacting you. I've seen a decline in Tabula Rasa lately as far as high-level players go due to their claim of no end or elder game content. As a player of Ultima Online, World of Warcraft, and now Tabula Rasa, with small stints in Shadowbane, Guild Wars, and Silk Road, I plan to be in Warhammer Online. I have experienced a lot of MMOs and what they offer for near 10 years now. I wanted to know if you would be so bold as to allow me to be a guest on your show, perhaps over Skype. I would love to talk with you and other guests about Tabula Rasa in its current state, where we see it going, and the state of the game in terms of elder game content. Please consider it. And that's from Clasper. So, John, you You had something to say about this?
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of talk, hasn't there, about in-game content and stuff like that. But first of all, I just wanted to say to Casper, you know, if you want to do a gaming podcast, just go for it. I've been lucky enough to blag my way onto this one. But I do feel that, you know, solo podcasts can be done very well if you are passionate enough. You know, Sean has proved this with Guildcast, and Brent does an awesome job on Virgin Worlds. So, you know, do have a go at it. And I also think in the finale episode of Guildcast, you talk a little bit about this, don't you, Sean?
Yeah.
So, you know, have a listen to that and, you know, by all means, you know, go for it from that point of view. But sort of just generally with regard to, you know, Elder content or Endgame content, and on all content, really, you know, the new 3 to 4 week patch delivery is addressing this constantly. I know the recent patch was needed in the forms of sort of more bug fixes, but I think we will see a constant, you know, delivery of content as we work through fixes. The amount of bug fixes in the last patch is nothing short of fantastic. That needed to happen, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As far as endgame content that has already been announced, I mean, we've got the PAUs, and I know we keep talking about these as something, oh yeah, PAUs, they're coming. You know, we've got those at level 40. We've got the flashpoints and, you know, and commanding your own squad. Lots of things have been announced that are coming to this game. You know, I've talked earlier about the idea of returning to Earth, and, you know, and General British has confirmed that, you know, in the last few days himself. I like to see that as positive confirmation that we will be getting that. But in terms of what could we have that we don't know about, I mean, let's think about this. What options are there for endgame? We've got the command opportunities, you know, ownership of control points, you know, ranking systems, things like that, you know, special instances or areas that you can only get when you get to a high level, special weapons. I mean, again, we talked about that right at the beginning. They said that they were looking at, you know, weapons and items and loot and making them more desirable. You know, is that something we want for sort of end game? You know, is it about collecting stuff from different dungeons, you know, like in other games? I would hope end game content isn't all PvP orientated. Whilst PvP end content is cool and would be cool, I'm a firm believer that PvP should be something that players consent to, as it's about playing against other like-minded people and not about destroying players that are not as skilled as you. You know,
yeah.
that's sort of my view on PvP. I like the idea of loss and, you know, you shouldn't be a care bear and all of that. But I do think that PvP should be consensual because it can ruin a game for some people who don't want it. Mm. So end game shouldn't all be about that. Factions is something I'd like to see, you know, not just for PvP, but PvE factions and, you know, gaining different benefits from that and awards. I like, you know, collecting little things like this. So it's all being worked on, and it will be released, you know, as and when. I'd rather see sort of content finished than just chucked out as a whole. I don't know about you, Sean.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. And I think, like with patch 1.4, we got a lot of stuff, and then that was right before they announced that they're going to start doing smaller patches more frequently, so that we don't have to wait for these big patches like this. So we're going to get a little spoiled as far as what we're used to, you know, with these big patches coming out. Because now we're getting the little ones with a lot of little stuff thrown in every 2 weeks or so, they said, somewhere around there. So it's going to be kind of strange, I think, at first, because we're going to just expect all of this great stuff like we're used to. But they're going to, you know, it's a constant thing. It's something they're constantly working on, even little by little. All these little things add up, and they really make a big difference. You know, like a lot of these skill balances and ability balances that they're doing little by little, you know, people complain, of course, about, you know, if they nerf the regen and stealth armor. Mm-hmm. So there's 10 threads about that. You know, people hate it, but it's just something they have to do to balance out the game. And not only that, not only balancing out the game the way it is now, but also to tie in with this email is talking about, it's balancing out what's to come. Because we don't know what's to come, but they do. So they might be changing some things here and there because they know what's about to come.
That's right. We need to get Tia to fess up on some of this stuff, don't we? she wasn't so keen to do that. But they are releasing constant updates. And I think the plan was that, you know, they would have these updates and periodic expansions throughout the first half of 2008. And then after that, the devs have stated they would focus on, you know, big expansions. I'd like the idea of pushing this stuff out once it's completed, you know, rather than holding and packaging them up for like big expansion packs when you could have had them already.
Yeah.
I'd like to see bigger and better things to be part of expansion packs. And mm-hmm. Like you say, we've already seen new instances. We've seen the hybrids, you know, all over the last few months. So we'll get the PAUs and our clan control points and stuff in the near future. I've also heard, and this was from, I think it was from an official Q&A somewhere. It might have been over at Ten Ton Hammer, but there was rumours of a Bane mothership that was going to be introduced, and that would be a playable map, you know, an area that you could, I don't know, you'd teleport onto it or something, and it's a big Bane mothership.
Oh, nice.
Now that is really nice, isn't it? And
yeah,
there's so much potential here, and if we can think of it, I'm sure the devs are thinking of it.
Plus, kind of going along with what you were saying, you know, if we had all this stuff available to us right now, if everything that they thought of when they created this game, they had all at launch, there would be people who would have beat it already, and they would be complaining because they don't have anything to do. No matter what you give people, they're still going to beat it, and they're still going to complain that they have nothing to do. And that's not the dev's fault that you play 12 hours a day. It's, you know, it's just, it's your pacing, you know, and I think that, and I'm sure it would be great to have a game that's has the complexity of some of the games that have been out there, the MMOs that have been out there for, you know, 3-4 years, like WoW. But you get, you think about what WoW was like when it first came out. It was nothing like it is now.
That's
the same with Lord of the Rings Online. Nothing like it is now. I mean, they had, there is so much that has changed and added to that game. Plus most games, you know, most games that have been around for a while. And it's just a natural progression with any of these MMOs. And I think people are getting a little spoiled and they think that they need all of that content immediately when a game launches. And that's just not going to happen.
It's the on-demand generation we live in, I think. It is, though. And, you know, those players that do leave saying there's no end game, you know, so they go off to look for another thing, they came to this game because they like the idea of a sci-fi MMO set in this environment. And those players that do leave will return when the content is back in. So why not just enjoy your game and wait for it? You know, it seems silly just to go looking for that holy grail somewhere else when it will come to the game you want to play. I think TR's got a lot of mass appeal. It appeals to sort of lots of people, and therefore can't please these hardcore gamers from day one. You know, that time will come.
But I think the biggest question is what will please the hardcore gamers.
I'm hoping the command point system will. I love the idea of this sort of henchman minion thing.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently there's going to be like certain objectives that you'll have to be done simultaneously, and so you require like a squad to go in one direction and another squad to go in another way, and you have to, like, you know, take down some computers or an alarm or something at the same time. And these are like raid parties that can be made up from a mix of clans or groups. I mean, so I'm hoping something like that will be good. You know, we'll get little things like that if that's your thing.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see where it goes. I'm just excited. I don't know if I'm a different breed to a lot of people, but I don't moan that it's not there. I'm excited that it's coming.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's how I play all my MMOs. So, you know, I think I'm glad Clasper's brought this up, because I think there's been a lot of talk about the elder content in the game, and it's definitely worth sort of talking about and getting different people's opinions on this.
Yeah.
So hopefully we shall see some of that soon. And I think the pressure's been put on lately by this Korean article that we will actually see some things a little bit quicker.
Yeah, that's a good possibility. And Clasper says here about being a guest on the show sometime. I would like to do that very soon, where we get some more people on here with John and I, and we can discuss some things, like especially with some of these class episodes. I do have an idea for getting some more people on for some of these class episodes, because there's only so much John and I can talk about. Actually, in reality, there's only so much that John and I can do with every single class. So it would be nice to get someone who specifically plays that one class, you know, hardcore, and that's their only class, and they know it inside and out, and they know everything about it. That's what I'd like to do eventually. So it's a possibility, you know, to get more people on here as guests.
Yeah, that would be good. The problem with having guests is that sometimes they can outstay their welcome, eh, Sean?
Yeah, no.
Like myself.
I guess speaking of endgame, we need to end this game really soon because it's getting pretty long.
We do need to talk about the competition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the competition we're going to do, we talked about it last week. We're going to do that hide-and-seek contest. It'll be the first TabulaCast / Tabula Blogger contest. And I know we were talking about announcing it during the week last week, but we got a little late. Or actually, I should say I procrastinated a little bit. But we now have the official word on it, and the details are now up in the TabulaCast forum and on Tabula Blogger. Mm-hmm. What it'll be is it'll be a hide-and-seek contest, which will be on next Tuesday, on March 11th, mm-hmm. and it will be at 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, which is 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What it'll be is John and I, one of us, or both of us, will hide somewhere in the world of Tabula Rasa. Now, this will be on the European server, so it will be, I guess you could kind of consider it maybe a European contest this time. Mm-hmm. I hate to be exclusive like that, but just because of the time zone. I know 3 p.m. Eastern is not an ideal time for most Americans who have to work, you know, on a Tuesday. But it'll be on the European server, and we will be hiding somewhere on any planet, on any section of the entire world. And what we're going to do is I'm going to put up a riddle or like a poem kind of thing that'll give some clues as to where we will be. And that will be on, I will post that the day before. So it'll give you a little bit of time to figure it out. And hopefully it's a little bit difficult. The way I want to do it is the first person who opens trade with us. That way there's not people standing in front of us waving, saying, I saw you first. And then you have to try to tell, you know, it'll be the first person who opens trade with either one of us. Mm-hmm. That person will get 100 charcoal paint, armor paint, and 100 white paint. That will be courtesy of Avatia, who we heard from last episode.
Those are rare, right?
Yeah, they're really rare, yeah.
I want some.
I know. We'll have to work a deal with the person who wins.
Yeah. I'd see, if you hadn't have introduced that trade rule, because there's no way I can trade with myself. I would have had some of those by now. I'd be in line to win that. But the no, seriously, we're not entering, are we, Sean?
No.
But I think that's awesome. I think that is just really fantastic. You know, because Carpe Diem gave us those black armor dyes,
yeah.
And Tia said, yeah, I'll match that with white armor dyes.
Yeah,
armor paints, yeah. And you know that's really cool. They're going to look awesome. Whoever gets those.
And she said she might be able to be there too, right?
Yeah, she said she'd turn up. I gave her a suggested time, and she said, yeah, I've got nothing planned. So, you know, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
So I think she'd personally hand those over. The other thing is, I just wanted to point out, is we will rotate this. We will do it on other servers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's only fair, and this is like the first go, if you like. Mm. So we will get that around to other servers. We really just wanted to make sure it was compatible with myself and mainly Avatia to be there.
Yeah, definitely. And I imagine, you know, we'll not only do all different servers, we'll do different times of the day, different, you know, like sometimes on weekends. We want to try to get everyone involved. So, and we know that's not possible all at the same time. So, you know, if you are at work at this time or at school or something, just sit tight because we will have a more flexible schedule later on.
Definitely.
Well, cool. I guess that'll do it for this episode before we get into another epic 1 hour, 45 minute episode. But I just want to thank everyone for listening and downloading the podcast, and, you know, check out the forums over at tabulacast.com/forum. Check out John's Tabula Blogger over at gaxonline.com. Did you have anything else you wanted to say, John?
No, just I'm looking forward to the competition, so please take the time to, you know, come and check it out. You know, even if you don't want to take part, just you know, you might get an idea of where we'll give a starting location for that, won't we, Sean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be cool just to socialise, even if you don't want to take part. And it'd be good to see people down there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I hope to see everyone there, and I hope we can do a lot more of these in the future.
Cool. And if you can't make it, but you know someone who might be able to, let them know as well.
So until that time, this is Sean,
and this is John,
and we're signing off.
Bye bye.